How about now? Can you hear me now? Thank you, Mr. Kuhn. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, and one of my favorite scriptures. And so this morning, I just want to take some time to brag on God. That be okay? We're going to brag on God today. We're going to break down some barriers, and then we're going to become what He wants us to be. He's called us to change our world. Do you know that this morning? But He's got to change our world before we can change the world. And so I thank God that every time we come and we look into the mirror of His Word, we never leave the same. Here's what it says. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him, that's with Jesus, also, somebody say also. This means in addition to, also freely give us. How's He going to give it to us? Freely give us a few things. How shall He not with Him also freely give us, how many things? All things. Somebody say, be generous. Look at your neighbor and say, be generous. Now look at the other neighbor you just rejected and tell them, be generous. Be generous, right? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You so much for Your word today. And I ask that You do the work that only You can do. I pray that the words I speak today be spirit and life. Father, let no flesh glory in Your sight. But Lord, let revelation knowledge of Your word flow freely. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts that perceive. God, let us be doers of the word and not hearers only. And we give You all the praise. If there be anybody here today that does not know Your Son as their Savior, I claim their soul for the kingdom today. And I pray that they would call on You because they see how good You are. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Say, be generous. All right, now here's what generous means. Let's define it. I like this. Generous means freely giving or sharing what is valuable to you with others. Would you say that's a pretty fair definition of generosity? Freely giving or sharing what is valuable to you with others. I like the second definition. It says, providing more than the amount that is needed or normal. To be generous means to provide more than the amount that is needed or normal. I want you to think about these things in terms of who God is. It means marked by abundance or ample proportions. The third definition means showing kindness and concern for others. Showing kindness and concern for others. Would you say God's done that for us? Okay. The fourth definition, this is one of my favorites, is liberal in giving. It literally means to be open-handed. One of the other definitions means to be free from small-mindedness. A generous person is free from small-mindedness. And the fifth and last, and probably the most fascinating to me, means highborn or of noble birth. That's the archaic definition of generous. If you said somebody is generous, it means they were high-born. It means they were born of a noble birth. Now, one of my favorite things to tell you is faith begins where the will of God is known. And the Word of God is the will of God. So faith begins with knowing what God's Word has to say. And in the same way, generosity begins with a knowledge of who God is and of how God operates in our lives. And so today we're going to talk about how we can break free from the fear of lack in our life and break free from a self-centered life and become a blessing to others as God's called us to be. Now, the first thing you need to understand today is that God is generous. I want you to say that with me today. God is generous. Let's say it again. God is generous. Tell the person beside you, God is generous. Now, that might sound very simple on the surface, but you know, there are many, many people who, I'm going to go a step farther and say, the majority of believers do not actually think that God is generous. Their view of God is a stingy, penny-pinching miser who wants them to barely scrape their way through this life and that someday they'll enjoy some level of victory when they get to heaven. And so today I want to take a look at what the Word of God actually has to say about the kind of God we serve, because we serve a generous God. Say that today. I serve a generous God. Now, Romans 8:32 proves that. It proves that God gave his best. He gave Jesus. He withheld nothing. There was nothing that he kept back from us. And if he gave us his best, if you don't get this, forget the rest of the sermon. If he gave us his best already, how much more will he give us the rest? If he already gave us the most important thing, everything else pales in comparison to Jesus, does it not? And it says, if he gave us his son, how much more will he freely give us all things, the Bible says. Now, question, why is there a giant gift on the platform? Because I know you've been wondering. Some of you are wondering what's in it. It's a brand new Cadillac. Somebody's going to get it. If you attend church perfectly for the next year, we'll raffle it off. Just kidding. Why is there a giant gift on the platform? And while I'm talking about the gift, I want to thank Tim and Deb Geis, John Gleason, Jen Newell, and anybody else that was involved in wrapping that thing. But why is there a giant gift on the platform? And here's the reason why. Because Christmas is the time we celebrate the greatest gift ever given. Why do we give gifts? We give a gift as a celebration of the gift. We give a gift as a reminder of the gift. Amen? Christmas is really a celebration of the generosity of God, because without his great gift, none of this would be happening, would it? I want you to meditate on that for a minute. Christmas is a celebration of the generosity of God. This time of year, we are celebrating God's gift, which was the greatest provision we would ever need, his son, Jesus Christ. And so we are celebrating not only the generosity of God, but the provision of God in our lives. It was God's radical, extravagant, over-the-top, above-and-beyond generosity that he sent to this earth at the perfect time, wrapped up in swaddling cloths, lied in a manger in Bethlehem, and his name is Jesus. Thank God for Jesus today. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe once or twice in my life, I've received, Lisa, a gift that absolutely blew my mind. Somebody gave me something that it just floored me. It blew my doors off. I could not believe that they would even give it to me. We had one of those situations this year. Someone texted me and asked me a question if I had ever thought about going on a cruise. And I said, well, no, I mean, not really. And I had barely even gotten back to them, and they had already bought us one. I said, I can't accept this. I can't even believe this. I can't even believe this is going on. I'm not worthy of this gift. You can't do this for me. This is too nice. And I was floored by the individual's generosity out of nowhere, blindsided by their generosity, blown away by their extravagant, over-the-top, generous gift. Have you ever had a situation in your life where somebody just blessed you so much you thought, I absolutely can't take this. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. That's what God did with us with Jesus. He shared that kind of generosity with us. And here's the thing. God's generosity changed the entire world. But most importantly, it changed our world. It changed my world. God's generosity created opportunity for me. His giving increased our standard of living. And here's the thing I want you to get today. If he already met your greatest need, how much more will he meet any other need you'll ever have? If he already canceled your greatest debt, which was sin, I owed a debt I couldn't pay. Thank God he paid a debt he didn't owe. But if he already canceled and took care of and paid and provided for your greatest debt, why are you worried about your MasterCard? Is this making sense today? We worry about things without really realizing God's already taken care of the greatest thing of all. And he said, if I took care of that, how much more will I freely give you everything else you need? How about the greatest disease you ever had, a terminal disease that you were born with? It was called sin, and it's fatal to every single human being. He healed you from the greatest disease. Why are you worried about anything less? Amen? He's raised us from the greatest death. Why should we worry about anything else that may happen to us? If he's already proved he would give his best, how much more will he give you things that are less? So how ridiculous is it when we get worried when he's already provided for us the most significant thing that we would ever need? He didn't hold back his best, and he says, I won't hold back the rest. Amen? But not only is God generous, but God's generosity exceeds the need. Somebody say, exceed the need. God's generosity exceeds the need. The second definition we had there was providing more than the amount that is needed or normal. God provides more than the amount that is needed or that is even normal. When God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, he brought them out in one night, the Passover, by the blood of the Lamb. He delivered them and he set them free. He brought them out of 400 years of bondage and captivity there in Egypt. If he would have brought them outside the gates and left them there, that would have been enough as long as they were free. But he didn't do that. He brought them out, and he brought them out with the wealth of the Egyptians. He brought them out wealthy, and he brought them out healthy. Somebody say wealthy and healthy. There wasn't a sick or a feeble one among them. And for the next 40 years, God fed 3 million people in the desert with no grocery stores. 3 million people, that's a city twice the size of Philadelphia. 3 million people for 40 years God provided for. It was God's generosity that took care of them. The Bible says he would send them quail at night. Can you imagine quail for 3 million people? I mean, imagine the picture of that flock of quail coming along through the sky, and all of a sudden, at the right place, at the right time, they all have a heart attack and die. I mean, it's raining quail, hundreds of thousands of quail. See, we read the Bible, but we really don't think about what this would have looked like. How about the logistics of some of this? I mean, 3 million people, and the quail's coming through the sky, and then all of a sudden, bam, 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 it's hailing quail. And then the Bible says in the morning they'd get up, and when the dew would lift, there was a powder on the ground. They called it manna. God fed them with KFC at night and Krispy Kreme in the morning. It was a deal you could not beat. Why? We serve a generous God. They called it manna. It was literally angel food. It was the food of the angels. And if you're going to feed 3 million people just for one day, some of you know what it's like to feed five. I mean, you got a house full of pack of wild wolves. You open a bag of chips and it's gone 5 minutes later. I do that by myself. That's 1,500 tons of food per day. Two freight train cars, a mile long. That's 4,000 tons of wood a day just to cook the food. That's 11 million gallons of water every single day. That's a freight train, 1,800. Ralph, you know about trains? That's a freight train, 1,800 miles long hauling water. Every day. And it all came out of a rock. Why? We serve a generous God. Can you say amen today? Because what he did for them is a picture of what he wants to do for us. What he did for them shows us the life he's called us to live. The things that happened to them were written for our learning. God gave us a picture of Israel to show how he provides for his people. And the Bible says that you and I are in a better covenant that they had, with better promises, and it's built on better blood, because it's not the blood of bulls and goats and pigeons and lambs. It's the blood of the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the earth, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God and the Savior of man. He's the hope of heaven and the hero of humanity. That's the Lamb of God that was slain for us. Why? Because God is generous, and he said, if I give you my own son, how much more will I give you anything else? Stop worrying about your life, child of God. The very first miracle Jesus performed was a miracle of provision. He went to a wedding in Cana, and they ran out of wine, and Jesus' mom comes to him and says, hey, they're out of wine, Jesus. And he said, that's not my problem. It's not my time yet. You ever been there before? You had something and you ran out? Very first miracle Jesus performs is a miracle of provision. They had run out of wine. Jesus said, I want you to fill up those jars with water. I think they were about 40 gallons apiece. There were six of them. He turned the water into wine. They took the wine to the master of the feast. And he says, you have saved the best for now. Most people bring the good stuff out at first. And as the night goes on, it's cheaper and cheaper and it don't taste as good. He said, you saved the best for now. Why? Because we serve a generous God. With God, it's always the best. Now is always the time for God's best. Thank God for that today. Jesus, how about when he got into Peter's boat? You remember that? They had been fishing all night long. They hadn't caught anything. Jesus said, I want you to let down your nets on the other side. Didn't make a lick of sense. They let down their nets on the other side. Peter obeyed the word of the Lord. And what happened? They caught so many fish, the Bible says, that they had to call their helpers. And they came because the nets were tearing and busting and the boats were sinking. There were so many fish coming in. Why? Because we serve a God of more than enough. We serve a generous God. Jesus was proving to Peter and to the others around him exactly who he was. Who is God? He's a net busting, boat sinking God. That's the kind of God you serve. A God of more than enough. A God that is able to provide. A God of ample proportions. A God who's not stingy or selfish with his kids. Can you say amen? How about when he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? That's barely a happy meal. Right? I mean, he got an extra value meal from Long John Silver's from little Billy. Said, Billy, come here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mama gave you 5 slices of bread, 5 loaves. 1, 2, 2 fish sticks. All right, I want all of you to go to sit down. 5,000 men, not counting women and children. 5,000. What's Jesus doing? He's providing. He's revealing something. Jesus reveals to us who God is. What does he do? He feeds every single one of them until they're full with 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5,000 people, not counting women and children. And when they're done, the Bible says they took up 12 basketfuls. That's not less than enough. That's not just enough. That's more than enough. Thank God we serve a God of more than enough today, amen? That's the kind of God you serve. He's a generous God. He's generous with his people. In the Old Testament, he reveals himself as El Shaddai. Somebody say El Shaddai. Now you know Hebrew. El Shaddai, he's the God of more than enough. He's the all-sufficient God. He's the God who is eternally capable of being all that his people need. The Bible says in Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. I love that. Who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Every single day, there is a Mack truck that backs up to the Payne household. Beep, beep, beep. And it lifts up its bed, Barbie, and it dumps out a load of blessings on us. Who daily loads us, your Bible says. He loads us with benefits. He loads us with blessings. He is the God of our salvation. And when it came to our salvation, he did not just forgive us of sins. He went above and beyond that. Why? Because he's a generous God. And if all we've received is just forgiveness of sins, thank God for that. But you just standing inside the gate of the kingdom. Come on in, baby. There's so much more to enjoy on the inside. He didn't stop there. Psalm 103, verse 2 says this. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what? Benefits. Are the benefits to being a child of God? Yes. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals? How many of your iniquities? You know those ones that have been hanging on to you that you still feel guilty about, that you repented of 3 years ago? He forgave all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with what? Good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He didn't give you an imitation spirit whenever you got born again. He didn't give you a knockoff of what he had. He didn't give you some other spirit. He gave you, Paul said, the very same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He didn't skimp on his power when he filled you with his power. He gave you dunamis power. He gave you dynamic power. He gave you the same power that was living on the inside of Jesus. Jesus didn't say lesser things would you do. He said greater things would you do. Why? Because we serve a generous God. Amen. Amen? We serve a God of more than enough. We serve a God who wants his kids to do great. We serve a God, Frank, who laid down his life to push us to new heights. Thank God today that we serve a generous God. Can you say amen? The generosity of God. We've got to get a hold of this. We are celebrating how generous God was. Because we can't be generous till we get a revelation of generosity in our Father. And here's the thing that gets perpetuated this time of year. We believe that if God didn't take care of his son and if Jesus lived poor, then we should expect to do the same. And this is a common misconception that is perpetuated, especially this time of year. But I want to ask you some questions and ask the question, was Jesus really poor? See, here's the thing. The manger is no indicator of poverty. The Bible does not ever say that they laid him in a manger in a stable because they didn't have money to be in the inn. It says because there was no room for him in the inn. We're going to read the Bible or we're going to read the Bible. Now, we do know that Mary and Joseph were poor because of the type of sacrifice they offered for her purification. That was the sacrifice that only those who are poor would offer. So we do know that Mary and Joseph were poor whenever they offered the sacrifice for her purification, which probably would have been something like 40 days after the birth of Jesus Christ. But long about 2 years later, there were three dudes that showed up from the east. Remember them, the wise men. They came looking for a what? What'd they look for? A king. And what'd they bring with them? Gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I don't mean they brought a spice jar full. They came to celebrate a king on a journey that took them multiple years. They came with a caravan. They came with such a large group of people and such a large gift that it disturbed the leadership so bad he wanted to kill every single baby under two because he was threatened by the size of their gift. So any poverty that might have been there for Mary and Joseph was eliminated after the wise men showed up because they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why? Because they were surrogate parents of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and our God pays his child support, and he wanted to make sure his boy was taken care of. Is this making sense so far? When Jesus grew up, he had at least 12, there were many more than that, but at least 12 men who traveled with him for 3 years. Now imagine just buying a Happy Meal three times a day for 3 years, much less feeding 12 grown men plus Jesus. So that's at least 13, right? Anybody got 13 in their house? No? Okay. Anybody got 10 in their house? 10? We got 10 right here. You know what it cost. That costs a lot of money, doesn't it? So Jesus couldn't have been poor because poor means I don't have enough to meet the need. So Jesus carried around 12 other guys with him for 3 years for Jesus Christ Ministries International, which I might add, if he were here today, most of us wouldn't follow him. We'd say he was surrounded by 12 yes men. He spoke in riddles, and he had a treasurer who was an embezzler. Right? You want to be real about it? Let's talk about that one. The Bible says that Judas was the treasurer. I don't know many poor people with a treasurer. Is that true? The Bible says they help the poor regularly. How do you help the poor if you is poor? They help the poor regularly, okay? Not to mention his treasurer was embezzling money. Now, as John stated this morning, if there's only one coin in the coffer and you try to embezzle it, somebody's going to notice. So there must have been a little bit more, so much so that nobody even noticed Judas was pilfering the money. But Jesus knew. The Bible says Jesus wore nice clothes, so nice that whenever they crucified him on the cross, they gambled for who would get to take his clothes because the tunic he wore was woven from the top to the bottom in one piece. So Jesus was not poor. Amen? And here's the thing, if you believe that Jesus was poor, then you believe that your heavenly Father, if he didn't provide for his son, why would he provide for you? But we serve a generous God because Jesus went about meeting needs everywhere he went. He showed the generosity of the Father. Church, the Word of God is where we've got to base and build what it is we believe. And it shows specifically that God is not a penny-pinching, stingy miser. And it's time for us to stop standing on the outside, looking in, acting like it was God who locked us out. He said, if I gave you my best, I won't hold back anything else. And so we need to take our place at the table of God. He's given you an inheritance, not another inheritance, but the same inheritance. He seated you not at another table, but at his table. He shared his throne with you. He shared his name with you. He shared his influence with you. And he's sharing his home with you. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms, and if I go away, I'll prepare one of them for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where you are, where I am, there you may be also. He gave us his righteousness. The Bible says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. God shared his righteousness with us. Why? Because he's generous, church. It's time to never again say, I am unworthy of the blessings of God. I am unworthy of the life of God. I am unworthy of the joy of God. I am unworthy of the peace of God. You've got to break that today in the name of Jesus.